Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends. Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
This is Sheffield Live.
We're open for business live.
Hello, good morning and welcome to episode 397 of Business Live here on Sheffield Live FM and DAB Radio and wherever you get your podcasts. We're talking about turning every home and every street into its own power station. How do we do that? Well, the Green Streets Club is something fronted by Barry James. He's been on the show before. We'll allow him to introduce himself and tell us a little bit about previous experiences and talk about his idea for businesses and social enterprises already making a difference in terms of installing renewable energy equipment, solar and so on, onto homes in southwest Sheffield and how that could be scaled up through Barry's financial model and a network of community interest companies. Let's hear from Barry now.
We're open for business life.
Barry James, welcome back on the show. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. It's good to be back. Thank you, Jamie.
Well, thanks for coming on. And we're here to talk about energy, renewable energy. I'm very excited about this. But just to let folk know a little bit about you, you have been on the show a couple of times in the past. So tell us a little bit about your entrepreneurial journey and some of the initiatives you've been involved with before.
Yeah, spent a lifetime, too many decades, doing sort of leading edge tech stuff, initially for, you know, big banks and people like that, including Midland Bank. People will remember they had the development centre here in Sheffield where I worked for a while.
Yep.
Subsequently doing leading edge stuff for the NHS, getting very involved in bringing crowdfunding as a new way of getting entrepreneurial and innovative stuff off the ground. And then these days, I got involved in thinking about and doing work on how the world works economically, what are some of the problems we have, ending up with where we are now via something called Humane Energy, to something now called the Green Streets Club, which we're going to talk about that and the pilot we recently completed here in Sheffield.
Yes, I'd love to know more about that. So before we do the what, before you tell me what that is, tell me a little bit about why, in terms of you personally, why have you decided to pilot the Green Streets Club, which we're going to find out about more in a minute. But what are the biggest issues that you are sort of worried about, concerned about, that made you do this?
We all know, don't we? And we kind of, you got to live your life and you have to forget it for a while. But we all know we're in a climate emergency. And it is an emergency. And we kind of need to find better ways of doing things. And of course, we just went through the calamity, you know, with the Ukraine war, which tripled the energy bills. They came back down a bit, but were more than double still. And the answer from our Prime Minister and Ofgem was that, well, it's out of our control. There's nothing we can do about it. Our prices are set on a global energy market. And that's true, or half true. The second part is true right now. But there are things that we can do about it. The truth is that we went and looked and said, okay, what can be done? This great technology, this solar technology, there's also heat pumps and EVs and so on, and battery technology. When will it come of age? And it did. It already did. Even before the Ukraine war, it was the best way, the cheapest way of getting energy at all, not just clean energy, energy at all. And my frustration was, we should all be benefiting from this. This shouldn't just be something that's centralized. It should be decentralized. It should be something that everyone can opt into and gain benefit from, and getting energy that's green and cheap. And the technology is there. And that's where Green Street really came from, thinking about how can we make that a reality for Sheffield, for householders in Sheffield. And inspired by a crowd fund that some people did in London, Randall Edelstein and co, and the Power Film, Power Station people, who took a line from Anne Pettifer, who's one of our advisors now, who said every street should be a power station. We said, okay, street. We've got a little WhatsApp group which we inherited from COVID, and I said to the street, "How about it?"
Okay.
And there are pictures from last July when we did this, that's how we got here.
Brilliant. So this started with WhatsApp group, your local street. What message to that? People are saying, yes, let's be part of it. And you've just mentioned the name Anne Pettifer. So for those of us who might not be familiar with her, who's Anne Pettifer?
Anne Pettifer's famous, well, really across the world, I guess. She was responsible for creating and making, the Jubilee 2000 campaign happen. Anyone who can remember that, this was about forgiving unrepayable debt to the third world. And, Gordon Brown, Tony Blair, the current president of the United States, and it was a world thing. And she's these days is well known as an alternative economist who is able to sort of see beyond the theory into the reality. And you might see her pop up on places like Newsnight from time to time. And she wrote a book called The Green New Deal that. That line came from, I believe, every street should be a power station.
Thank you, indeed. And, of course, that's been hugely influential. The Green New Deal was as a concept from following that book. So it's always good to unpack names when we flag them up in that way. So I appreciate that, Barry. Thanks very much. You're then telling us about the genesis of Green Streets Club. You post this message in your WhatsApp group for your street. So tell me where you are and what happened next after you posted that message last year.
Yeah, how did I get this job? After Daniel and Hillary and the team down in Walthamstow in London, which just happens to be also where Anne Pettifer lives, as it happens, had completed their project, which had taken, I think, 18 months or so. I said, look, why don't we do the next one in Sheffield? And they said, well, we're thinking of doing some more, but we're a bit exhausted. We're going to France. And so being impetuous, I sent that message to the WhatsApp group, who's interested, and was really bowled over by the response. It was way more than I was expecting. So we sat down, we had a meeting down the road in the cafe in the middle of Cartonell Road there. And I explained how they'd run the crowdfund and why didn't we do something similar. And we talked through what that might look like, and they said, yeah, we want to do something about this, but we don't want to do a crowdfund. And I as you know, crowdfunding is part of my DNA now. It's part of my I've dedicated more than a decade of my life to it. So that was a bit of a blow for the moment. And why not? And they said, well, we can afford to pay for this ourselves if we want to, and maybe we'll help another street in Sheffield. So I couldn't really argue with that very much. But it did mean that as I was walking back up the road to my place here on Cartonnel Road, I suddenly realised that I needed a whole new model. And that was, in many ways, I joke about it, but a welcome challenge, you know. And it was a challenge for me to say, okay, how could we design this in a way that is easy for people, can accelerate across Sheffield and across the UK, that makes it easy for people to adopt, and that we can create hubs. We've got Form. We created actually almost 100, or in fact over 100 applications we had for funding hubs. They started to spread even beyond the UK when we were doing funding hub fundinghubs.com. So we kind of got a model that we know that works. So it was an opportunity to kind of start with almost a blank sheet of paper and say, okay, how can we make this work for everyone? How can we make this a win-win-win-win? A win for the household, a win for the climate, a win for the area, even, you know, and including a win for the installers who have got a tough time.
Yeah, and actually a lot of people who want to install renewables at home find it difficult to find an installer who's able to come and get the technology into the home at the right time. People are reporting lengthy waits because of demand and because of a skill shortage among finding installers for the new technology. So I'm really curious about sort of how you made things happen in terms of, okay, new model, okay, the street, we want to, people on the street want to pay for this ourselves. But it's not necessarily that affordable either to do it. So what's your model?
So part of an objective that I talked about at that first meeting is I believed then that we could halve the cost. And I've pretty much proved it since.
That's incredible.
Yeah. And it's because of the waste in the system. And the first element bedevils everyone, including and especially the installers. And that's there's just a complete lack of trust and understanding, which means that when someone thinks about this or tries to start to get, you know, get the thing going for their own home, they never know who to trust, you know, and you might get 2, 3, 4 or more quotes in, and they can be widely divergent. Why is that? And, you know, who are the good guys? Because we know it's implicit in that scenario that we're being sold to. So so I realised that was one of the biggest factors. There's a lot of myths and obsolete information around. So part of our model straight away is to be, to work with trusted third, with pre-vetted installers. So we look at them, we vet them, we make sure they're good. And I've got a lot of history in business, so it's not difficult to do once you kind of know what you're looking for and so on. And then we work with the locality, with the pilots. It was the folks here on the street, and they know that we are motivated. You know, we can't do this without a good reputation, and we're going to tell them how it is. So when the installer turns up and says, "Okay, you know, we recommend this, this, and this," they not only can but do come back to us and say, "Okay, you know, is that all true?" and you know what aren't we being told, and so on. And then we can also recommend other elements to that. So we've ended up with a model that addresses those problems, but we go beyond that. So we can halve the cost, but actually it's not just about the cost, is it? It's actually about the, you know, we're in a cost of living crisis. So I realised that we need to create a model that makes people better off straight away, not in a 7-10 years time, but actually so that the, you know, it fits within their household budget and helps to boost it straight away.
So tell me more about this sort of model in terms of generating like return on investment or boosting income for a household straight away. How does that work?
Okay, so you know, if you ring up a renewables company, they all work the same, and that's on, as you say, return on investment. And yes, the return on investment is important, but households don't work on that basis. They work on a budget, you know. And I always joke about, you know, you have to hope that there's not too much month left at the end of the money or of the budget. But that's kind of how it works, and especially in a crisis. So even if it's going to make you better off in time, the fact that it's going to make you worse off for several years really matters. So we've created a model that actually boosts your household income, and that, which sounds like magic, but it isn't. It's, I suppose you could call it fintech, which is one of my, you know, part of my history and part of my, you know, skill set. What does that look like? Okay, I'd love to show you the diagram, but one of these days I will, Jamie. But basically, let's say you're going to pay so much for a system. Yeah. We start off by halving the cost, right? So the cost of the loan is half of what it would have been. And then we say, okay, let's imagine, you know, everything is guaranteed for at least 10 years. So let's start with a 10-year loan, right? And let's say, that comes out to, we'll use round figures, £100 a month. So your budget is going to be £100 a month better off, worse off, except for three things, actually not two. So first of all, you can offset against that your savings on energy. So your bills are going to go down. And for this purpose, I'll say, you know, maybe by £60. It all depends on the individual, and we do these calculations in detail for you. But let's say it's £60. And let's say another £35 or £40 is realistic from export of energy. So we're already near covering the overall cost, but then we bring a new element to the table that wasn't available till now from the technology sector. It's called Green Energy Rewards, which means that you can get a meter from the company that we're partnering with. They're the only ones who are doing it at the moment. It's very new. And you get 10p a unit, which is pretty good, for every unit of green energy that you produce. Add that up, and that comes to about 450 quid a year on average. Mm-hmm. So we can get you, in our example, our worked example, you'll see it, it takes you in that example to about 33 quid a month better off. So the totality of what the system is doing for you with the two incomes and the savings, it's earning its keep, paying its loan, and giving you a surplus.
So full workings out, you've talked us through there. I think it'd be sensible if we provide a link in the show notes to, I know you've created various presentations and bits and bobs. Okay, that sounds really, really intriguing. It's quite surprising, or perhaps you'll say it isn't surprising, that this hasn't been done in this way really, really before, or other than the example that you talked about in Walthamstow in London. Are there any other places that have experimented with this sort of model?
Well, I don't think it could really realistically have been done much before, because firstly, there's that new element we just talked about, is the green energy rewards that come from the, you know, the carbon credit side of things. And that's really new. So, and part of the inspiration for this as well, I should say. But, you know, until recently, you were getting buttons for your the energy that you would feed into the grid, and that's changed. And this wouldn't work without halving the cost. So for most people who would be doing the kind of things I'm trying to do, well, actually, there aren't many people doing that. You know, everyone is in typically more of a silo. And bringing these different elements together, or Green Streets is bringing these different elements together, because the focus isn't maximising profit. The focus is on accelerating take-up and doing it in a way that puts, households at the centre.
Mm-hmm. And on that note, in terms of putting households at the centre, tell us about the results so far that you you had interest, obviously, from houses on Cotton Hole Road. So here we are now in October, as this goes out, end of September as we recorded it, 2024. How many homes have been able to install renewables through the pilot project on Cotton Hole Road?
Yeah, we decided to deliberately limit the pilot because we wanted to learn all of the issues, problems and so on, to just this top section of Cotton Hole Road where I live. If you know Cotton Hole Road, we've got Prince of Wales at the top, down to just past Button Hill to the little shopping parade. That's the section. We've doubled the number of houses there with solar. And if you drive down, as you're going down the hill, you see some of them on the left. On the right, you won't see them because the panels are hidden on the other side, where have to be where the sunshine, where the sunlight is strongest, obviously. So we've doubled them. We've delivered, I think, 8 or 9 systems already, including one across the other side of Sheffield. Nice. And it's a kind of rolling program. So there's more in the pipeline. We're also talking now about hubs in some of the other areas in Sheffield with various people.
Right. Great stuff. So in a year, you've in a limited pilot, you've helped locally there be 16 rather than 8 households with renewables. You've doubled the number because you've done 8 or 9. You've helped 8 or 9 households. Is that correct? Have I understood that right?
So, as I say, there's one over the other side of Sheffield. So there's about 14 from about 6 or 7, I think there was before.
Lovely, great. And are the results in terms of the expected ROI, for example, the figures, the assumptions that you had when you went into this, have those panned out in reality?
Yeah, if you look at the website, there's a more information link at the top. It's greenstreets.club, by the way. You'll see James, who is one of the early adopters there, talking about all of that and getting a really good, result straight away. I would emphasise, though, that the green energy rewards are only now just becoming available. So we were able to, we did the pilot just on the first two elements. Right. The green energy rewards are going to make possible the what I've just been talking about as well.
Okay, grand. Super. And anyone listening to this thinking, okay, he's described himself as a serial innovator with lots of history in terms of crowdfunding, NHS, other things that you talked about. People listening might think, well, okay, is this a business for you? What's in it for you? Do you see this as something that you're starting a business to help others? What's the kind of structure of that in terms of, say, accountability and transparency? Just so we're clear on what this is. And you've told us a little bit about your why to do it, and we know and understand that. But tell me in terms of how you see this working commercially for you, Barry?
Yeah, so the thrust behind it is the one I've talked about. This is about making the best response that I can and we can together to the climate crisis. And doing it in a way that is sustainable and can grow. At the moment, we're just doing it through a pretty standard limited company. But I want to, progress. It's in effect, it's a self-declared social enterprise at the moment. I'm looking at other structures at the moment, in turn, including co-op structures. But there'll be multiple elements to it. So what do I mean by that? So I want every hub to be its own, to own itself, possibly as a CIC, possibly in some other way or whatever. But I want it to be autonomous. I want it to be able to take on community energy projects and other projects going forward. So I want this to be a way of establishing those, and they'll be their own entities. My vision for Green Streets progressing from here creating a platform that can serve to accelerate all of that. The Green Streets Club included being an online entity. This is my first go around the block. I'm not a millionaire. I never set out to become immensely rich, but I think this will keep me going for quite some time.
Sounds like there's a really interesting model there in terms of you and setting up community interest companies, the hubs that you talked about. Brilliant. So tell us a little bit more about these hubs, how they will work, and also in terms of other future plans. I know from talking before this radio interview, you mentioned the idea of a pilot project with an SME, with a business.
Yeah, we've realised that we'll start with the business. We're looking for some business owners to work with on this initially, who'll get a really good deal out of this. I can absolutely say. But we realise that we can help cut costs for the employees. So how can we do that? Well, we can apply the same model and methodology to get their, to boost the household budget, get the bills down, make them less dependent on unpredictable energy costs. But we can also add to that yet another element of salary sacrifice. So that will, again, even further lower the costs for the employees, and it will help the firm. And from a green point of view, it's great for the firm. From employee benefits and retention, it's great. So we're looking for business owners. We're looking for, people who are interested in helping establish a hub in their area, and their area might be Walkley or Crooks or anywhere where we're very flexible in terms of what a hub might look like. And what will we do? Well, we'll help, we'll help you find a local hub if there is one a little bit down the line. In the meantime, we'll help you hook up with a couple of other people, perhaps. You probably already know them, who'd be interested in doing this together. And then we'll support you through a program with materials, with help to get your first meeting together and so on. to establish a hub. This is the pattern that we designed and proved with when we were doing funding hubs. So as I say, we're looking for both of those things: business owners, we're looking for employees too, and also households and people who want to do that. And finally, we're looking for more installers. So we've got a panel of installers already, and we want to bring more good, reputable installers onto our scheme as well now.
Grand. So how do folk get in touch with you if they want to be involved in any of those elements, from hubs through to an SME that wants to support its employees through to an installer who wants to be part of this?
It's dead easy. So the easiest way is if you go to Green Streets, don't forget, it's plural, greenstreets.club online. There's you can fill in a form there, or you can send me also an email at barry.james at the same address, which is greenstreets.club.
Lovely. Well, Barry, it's always interesting to sort of talk with you and to hear of your ambition to shake things up and achieve positive societal change through the power of entrepreneurship for good. And I want to thank you for coming on the program again. So thank you very much indeed.
Jamie, thank you for having me. It's always good to talk to you.
We're open for business life.
Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield. Made by you. We'll be right back.
plantas florecen, por primera, de la tierra brotan plantas, que la que espera, que la que espera, esperaban que llegara la primavera, la primavera.
Thank you. Sam Sam again, and it bless him.
Essa história pra te contar, que o vazio se sentia de longe na tristeza do lugar. Ardia a terra sem vida, pedras nenhum só olhar. Daquele instante viveu mãe terra e água no ar. O vapor dessa chama subiu, nuvens belas a água baixou, e entre pedras o mar se formou. Desse mar toda a vida brotou, como veias na terra arou. E a mãe d'água sorriu e chorou. E a mãe d'água sorriu e chorou.
Leva, gira, roda que eu vou. 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 Leva, gira, roda que eu vou.
Teso che mi lancia lontano poi mi trascino se e mi fa strano questa sottile malattia che non distingue più necessità da verità e i sogni dalla realtà, dalla mia realtà. Sempre sospesa a metà. È un gioco strano, tu non giocarlo mai. Starti vicino e cercarti per quello che non sei. E mi fa strano sentirmi così vicino a te mentre vado lontano, ma questo lontano poi dov'è? Fermala tu quest'altalena adesso che io non so più dove mi spinge né perché. Fermala tu quest'altalena adesso che non so più dove mi spinge né perché. Attimi in cui nulla sembra sia importante, esisto solo io e il resto non mi importa niente. Attimi in cui ogni cosa è necessaria ed improvviso io ti ho bisogno come l'aria. Quest'altalena adesso che io non so più, non so più dove mi spinge né perché. Fermala tu, fermala tu quest'altalena adesso che io non so più, non so più dove mi spinge né perché.
Hello, this is Matt Elders from Arts and Monkeys. You're listening to Sheffield Live.
It's taking you a while to tell me something that you feel. Something that you feel, boy, something that you feel. It's taking you a while. That you feel, boy, something that you feel. It's taking you a while to tell me something that you feel. Something that you feel, boy, something that you feel. You're missing out on some good loving. My body work, electric magnet. I can see your indicators flashing. Yeah.
postación.